Good morning. This is Appeal 053771, Barracks v. Eli Lilly & Company, and it's Mr. Kendall. Morning.
May it please the Court, and I hope it does, Your Honors, opposing counsel. This is a case about a then 53-year-old employee, Lena Barracks, who had worked for Eli Lilly and Company for 26 years, who in 2003 was awarded a pay increase by Eli Lilly's program for determining whether employees were eligible for pay increases in the range of from $0 to $30, who was denied the pay increase by a supervisor named Platt, perhaps in conjunction with the director of HR and another supervisor over him, in a department of approximately 34 employees.
Now, since you mentioned Mr. Platt, which male employee supervised by Platt was similarly situated to Ms. Barracks?
I believe that for all intents and purposes, all employees were similarly situated because of the way Eli Lilly divided up its departments and shifts. However, in particular, an employee by the name of Swick.
Okay, now, where in the record will we find evidence about his performance? I understand that his rating was 3 compared to Ms. Barracks. 2, but where is the evidence of the performance that was the basis for that rating? Because, you know, that would be the evidence that would show that he was similarly situated but treated more favorably. And Lilly states that there's no other performance information in the record, and I'm left wondering whether or not that really is the case.
Evidence of Mr. Swick's performance can be found in the deposition of Mr. Platt under tab 11 at pages 116, 115 through 118, and also page 85. The actual line citations are in the brief, and I can't recall them.
And specifically what's said there?
What's said there is that Mr. Swick was in 2002 and later Mr. Platt's email porn buddy. They would send off-color, ethnic, sexist, and sexual jokes back and forth to each other. Platt was Swick's supervisor. Platt said that Swick was somewhat mediocre, a 2 to a 3. Platt says that he was disciplined for more than one problem in 2002, and then Platt says that as a result he didn't get as big a pay raise as he might have gotten for that year. Then after Platt left the plant in Lafayette, Indiana, and was transferred to the central office of Lilly, he testified in March of 2005 that he and Swick continued to email with the same kind of emails.
Is there any evidence in the record about the type of pornography that Platt had on his computer? Do we know, for instance, that it was degrading to women? Do we know whether it involved women at all?
We know it involved women. We know it involved pornography. I personally don't know how explicitly degrading it was. But I would think that a workplace, if a male supervisor is spending workplace time downloading large quantities of pornography about women onto his workplace computer, one could make an argument, or let me put it another way, I think a jury could reasonably infer that that is per se a degrading activity in the workplace for a male supervisor. We also know that he had a joke book that was about women and minorities, and that joke book was provided to him by someone in Lilly management, and he refused to disclose who, He was never forced to disclose who, and he wasn't demoted. He wasn't transferred because of it. His transfer, he testified, was actually a neutral activity. I think that that Platt is a good place to then turn. Platt's a supervisor who's a male supervising this female, and nothing of consequence happened to Platt for these activities. Swick, nothing happened to him of any consequence for this, except arguably he got a lower pay raise than he would have gotten. The plaintiff, failed to fully take into account, probably, we put her lawyer, myself, the mosaic effect of all of this at the district court level. The department that Ms. Barracks worked in, they had a policy of giving pay raises once the computer determined a range of either above or below a median. Right. All the women in the department of 34 people did not get the median. They got below the median. Not a single woman got up to the median in a pay raise. For example, if you made 30 and it was 30 to 0, it would have been a median of 15. If it was 100, it would have been a median of 50. Not all the men got above the median, but all the people who got above the median were men.
Forgive me, but Platt supervised, as I recall, 13 men, and only Miss Barracks was the sole woman. But you're talking about all of, you're not talking now just about Platt.
No.
You're talking about all of Eli Lilly.
Yes. No, we're talking about 34 employees in a department.
The whole department.
Lilly testifies differently at different places, but Lilly says at one point that Platt, his supervisor, Terrence Smith, and HR guy, Greeley, participate in the consensus decision about whether or not to give her a pay raise. I know I'm running into my time. I just want to finish on this one point. Lilly tells the EEOC, and I think this is worth actually quoting at the risk of cutting into some of my time, that the reason they didn't give her a pay raise was because of her performance. And they say that on page 3, tab 12. Lilly then says in the depositions and then their interrogatory answers to interrogatory number 4, which is tab 7, that the reason they didn't give it to her is they had this rule that they made that they never put in writing just for that building, that they weren't going to give anybody a pay raise of $20 or less, if that's all they could have gotten, because it would have been insulting. And then, of course, we know that as soon as she doesn't get the pay raise, she said that was insulting, and they, of course, blew that off. And I think collectively under Reeve, that undermines the credibility of their explanation. And I'm sorry I ate up part of my time.
No, thank you, Mr. Kendall. And Ms. Boschke.
Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court. This is a straightforward case involving allegations of gender and age discrimination relating to compensation that the district court properly found were unsubstantiated. The plaintiff, Ms. Barracks, did not receive a raise for a single year. That, as I will explain a little bit more further, was based on her relatively high salary, her performance level, the budget for merit increases, and departmental policy.
Now, the plaintiff says that the sole reason that Platt gave her for the 0% raise was that there was no money for her. And that seems to be a demonstrably false reason, because there was money in the budget. It was given to the men in her group. So why would that not be sufficient for a showing of pretext?
Well, first of all, Ms. Barracks can't even establish a prima facie case, but moving on to what your question is, if she had, why that would not be pretextual. And that's the answer is that that's just the explanation that he gave her. There was no money under the merit increase decision for her. I don't think that's clear enough to say there was no money in the, you know, company coffers, and certainly nobody has ever maintained that there was no money at Lilly. But his explanation to her was there was no money for her, which was the result of the decision-making process that, as I mentioned to earlier, was based on her performance level, her salary, the merit budget, and the computer program that determined the amount of allowable merit.
There's no written job description for this senior mm-hmm. chemical operator, and so how do we know that computer skills were a requirement?
It's true they don't maintain written job descriptions at Lilly. Both the plaintiff and her supervisor testified that computer skills were a requirement. Both of them agreed that she was not strong. In fact, she struggled in this area, and she admits that. And then in terms of the documentation, the performance rating is actually generated from what's called a performance management document. It has seven what they call behaviors. And on that document for this year, she was rated as unacceptable and needs to develop on four out of the seven performance behaviors.
Including these computer skills. But wasn't she also asked to train employees? And doesn't that indicate that she was performing her duties to a satisfactory degree?
She was asked to train her employees. And by the way, the system that's in place here, there are ranges of acceptable performance. And so nobody is saying, and I think this goes to a lot of their brief, nobody's saying her performance was unacceptable. Her performance was on the low end of acceptable, and under Lilly's philosophy, which is a pay-for-performance philosophy, your compensation's based not only on your performance, but how much you're already getting paid. In other words, to deal with the ratings creep of people getting paid more every year, they factor these things in. She was highly paid, and yet she was at a low performance level. Those things factor together.
Was anyone else under Platt's supervision allowed to train new employees in that group, or was Ms. Barracks the sole trainer?
There's no evidence in the record regarding the training duties of anyone else.
So we don't know.
We don't know.
Is there any evidence in the record about the type of pornography that Platt had on his computer? And was he disciplined for having pornography on his work computer that was, you know, downloaded during work hours?
The evidence in the record on that is that he was disciplined for someone used his computer to access inappropriate material. He actually denied that he did it, but he said that it was his computer was used and he was disciplined for that.
Well, what about the book of jokes?
There's no evidence concerning what those jokes were about. There was a book of jokes that his testimony is that someone gave him the book, he put it in his office and put it in a locked drawer, and he was disciplined for having that. But there's no evidence about
it. My understanding is that he conceded that he violated company policy.
That's true.
So a concession like that doesn't gel with somebody gave it to me, somebody does it?
He conceded that he violated company policy by having those materials in his office.
And did he also concede that he violated company policy as to the pornography?
He conceded that he was responsible for someone using his computer. That's all the information in the record on that point. There's no evidence in the record concerning what this was, if it was even pornography, what the pornography was. He was disciplined for three things, one of which was a training violation, one of which was for having this joke book in his office, and the third of which was evidence that someone had used his computer to access inappropriate material.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's
done?
It.
On this $20 bonus cutoff, how long has the practice been in place, and how did this develop, and is this the only facility where this has applied?
I don't know the answer to all those questions. The only information in the record is that this year, this department, before they went through the process, not after, came up with the policy that if the raise is less than $20, we're not going to award it because it's de minimis, could be viewed as insulting. That was a policy for this department for this merit year.
Now, after Ms. Barris complained about gender and age discrimination, what steps did Lilly take to investigate those claims?
Her HR representative basically advised her that he did not believe that there was discrimination in this employment decision. The HR representative, the department manager, and the line supervisor were all involved in determining the merit increase. So that's, and basically he advised her
so
that.
The answer, I guess, to my question is they didn't investigate the
There's
claims?
There's no evidence that there was any investigation one way or the other. Although I would.
What steps were required by company policy?
Again, somewhat outside of what's in the record, but company policy would state that if you feel that you have been discriminated against, you can go to your HR manager, and if you're not satisfied with that response, there are various other steps that you can take, including a hotline. There's no evidence that any of those other steps were invoked here, that she was advised by her human resources representative.
Well, I want to get back to Mr. Swick in terms of why he's not an adequate comparator. Now, I know he received this three, but he also had problems, as was pointed out by counsel. But they had the same supervisor, same job title, and basically a similar work performance history.
Well, I would disagree with that last point, because there's no evidence in the record of any substance concerning his work performance. And there's some vague testimony that there were some issues. He was given a performance level three.
Right.
And a three, I mean, this is a pretty small scale, and a three is substantially better than a two, which is borderline, on the unacceptable or the going down the curve in terms of the performance. The other thing is that when you put that into the computer system, there's no dispute that the range generated based on that performance level was a completely different range. Now, he received, I believe it was 60% of range. If Ms. Barracks had received 60% of range, she still would have been below the $20 limit.
But is he the one that was using the computer?
No. The testimony about Mr. Swick is that after Mr. Platt left his position, went to Indianapolis, on some unspecified occasions, he sent off-color jokes to some people. That's the only evidence in the record regarding Mr. Swick, and there's certainly no evidence that that factored in any way in the performance year at issue, where he was rated a 3, unlike Ms. Barracks, who was rated a 2, which generated a completely different range under the computer system.
You see, one of the problems here is that the district judge's reasoning is rather thin. We've got a 4-page opinion, and more than half of it talks about the standards for summary judgment and then doesn't address a lot of the questions that, as you can see, we have.
I understand that. Of course, this court's review is de novo, and I think under a de novo review of the record, there's no evidence of a similarly situated employee, and the only person they've even attempted to identify is Mr. Swick at a different performance level, and there's no evidence suggesting pretext. So, I believe that although the district judge's reasoning is sparse, it is correct, and on the record, as explained in the briefs, the summary judge ruling should be affirmed.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Hunt.
You.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Kendall, you've got a couple of minutes.
What Ms. Barracks testifies to is that Mr. Platt actually tells her that there was no money left over for her, that there's no money for her, which is incorrect. It is true that there is no job description for her position or anyone. It is true that she was the person asked to train employees, and she was the only one in Platt's department who trained new employees, and she'd been there 26 years. Swick, who had only been there 12 years and was male, was actually making 68% of his maximum salary, where she was making 56%. No one else under Platt was allowed to train anyone but her, and that's in the record. The discipline that Mr. Platt received for his pornographic activity was that he got less pay, he had his material confiscated, he had his office searched, and he was seen before they searched it shredding material inside there.
That is in the record.
Yes. As to what he actually saw, he admitted in his deposition that he was reprimanded because of, quote, porn sites that had been visited, close quote. That's tab 11. Actually, that's Greeley saying this. Tab 11, 97:11-12. The question that I believe Judge Williams asked about the citations as to what Swick was doing, at tab 11, page 115:8-116:1, and again 85:6-12, is where Platt says that Swick had other disciplinary problems plus poor performance. And he actually testifies about Swick's performance and says that he's not a 3 and not quite a 2. He's just somewhere in between. So he actually does testify, and I think he is comparable. I think this issue of what's similarly situated here is a play on words that the defendant is trying to do to stop the court from looking at the department as a whole. Because if you look at the department as a whole, you find out that these jobs are somewhat interchangeable, and that's why there's no description. And what you really see in the department as a whole is that not a single female employee got up to her median. All got less than their median, and this one got none, and she was the only employee who got none.
I'm going to have to stop you.
Sorry.
Unless you have something that you absolutely must say.
I think there's a tendency on the part of myself and other advocates to forget that what we're really asking ourselves is there enough here from which a jury might reasonably infer that she was treated this way because of her gender? And I think that given the context of all of this, there's enough evidence that a jury could reach that conclusion.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Kendall. Thank you, Ms. Boschkoff. The case will be taken.